May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. Last summer, my family and I took a sabbatical that included a 10-day civil rights tour through the American South. Our final stop was to be the Lorraine Motel, the site of Dr. King's assassination, and now the home to the National Civil Rights Museum. Due to illness, we weren't able to visit, but we learned that our tickets would be honored for a year. So last month, my husband and I returned to Memphis to finally visit the museum. As we walked from our car to the Lorraine, the facade frozen in time from the days of the Civil Rights Movement, we came upon a small encampment surrounded by vinyl signs urging would-be guests to reconsider visiting the museum. The encampment belongs to Jacqueline Smith, who has been protesting outside the Lorraine Motel since March 2nd, 1988, the day four sheriff deputies carried her out of the hotel room where she'd lived for 11 years as she worked there as a maid. Ms. Smith disagreed with the decision to convert the site of Dr. King's assassination into a museum. She accurately predicted that the creation of a museum at this site would spur gentrification that would push out the poor and disenfranchised people King most wished to serve. She argued that pouring millions of dollars into a museum to memorialize King would not honor him in the way spending that money to house and educate the poor could. Her protest did not stop the museum, and the museum did not stop her protest. For 37 years, Ms. Smith has spoken with visitors about her convictions, including President Jimmy Carter, whom she actually dissuaded from visiting. Ms. Smith lives there on the street as an embodiment of the question, are we simply admiring Dr. King, or are we carrying on his work? By 1968, in addition to continuing the push for racial justice in our country, Dr. King's attention had shifted more urgently to income inequality. King opposed the Vietnam War in part because resources spent on the war could better be used domestically to address the poverty that plagued America's working class. King was in Memphis at the time of his assassination to support a sanitation workers' strike for safer working conditions and better wages. But his attention was split because he was also immersed in planning the upcoming Poor People's Campaign March on Washington, D.C. This march was meant to bring public attention to the plight of the poor and to apply political pressure on the government to address their needs. Constantly on the phone with other organizers, King almost didn't even go to the meeting where he gave that infamous, "I have been to the mountaintop" speech, which turned out to be his last. Dr. King was killed on April 4th, 1968, on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel, a stone's throw away from where Ms. Smith has pitched her tent. As we left the museum that day, we passed her once more. And this time I spotted another sign on the back of her encampment. And I wish I could remember exactly what it said, but it was something like, "The poor don't need you to buy merch from the gift shop. The poor need good jobs and affordable housing." It was especially convicting as I walked with this bag in my hand. I had come to Memphis to learn about and honor a movement that sought justice for the disenfranchised, but I had done nothing to actually seek justice for the disenfranchised. But I do have this great ornament that I will now hang on our Christmas tree every year as both our keepsake, and our challenge. Today, we gather to celebrate the life, ministry, death, and most of all, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We bring our very best on Easter, sparing no effort. The property committee works to freshen up the campus in anticipation of the many guests who join us for this special Sunday, and whom we're thrilled to welcome. We buy new Easter outfits for our children in anticipation of the family photos with the flower cross after the service. We hire brass musicians, and Sherry literally pulls out all the stops on the organ because Easter hymns are meant to be loud. We buy fresh flowers for the wire cross. We provide special worship bags for our children that can double as bags for the special egg hunt we plan for after the service. We do all of this out of our deep love for Jesus. We do this because we celebrate what God has done in coming to us in the flesh. We do this because we celebrate that Jesus lived out God's kingdom values in perfect obedience, which cost him his life. And we do this because the life he willingly laid down was restored by the power of God through resurrection. We celebrate today because death, in vain, forbids him rise. Jesus conquered death, and we celebrate and we anticipate the day he will come again. Easter is a joyous day. After we've placed our flowers on the cross, had our bite of bread and our sip of juice, sung all the Easter hymns, picked up the last egg on the church lawn, we'll head home. Another Easter in the books. We'll talk about how beautiful the service was. We'll post photos on Facebook. But what if, as we walk to our cars after worship, we notice Jacqueline Smith has pitched her tent on our lawn? What if the churchyard had signs that challenged whether the pageantry of our Easter celebration is really the best way to honor Jesus? What if there's a sign that said, "The least of these don't need fresh flowers and beautiful music. They don't need your sermon. They need good jobs and affordable housing." What would we do with that challenge? It's a beautiful thing to gather for worship, just as it's a beautiful thing to create a museum that educates and celebrates the legacy of those who have worked for civil rights. But it is something different to commit to continue the work. No matter how much we love the pageantry of Easter morning worship, and I love the pageantry of Easter morning worship, we know in our hearts that the best way to honor Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is to care for the least of these. In fact, it's the very work he gave the church to do. But don't worry. We don't have to give up all that we enjoy about this special morning. We can and should have meaningful worship. And our meaningful worship should lead us out these doors and into the same meaningful work that Jesus did, like feeding the hungry, welcoming the outcast, touching the unlovely, speaking difficult truths in places of power, loving our enemies, and walking in the way of peace. That is the way we best honor the resurrection. That is the best way to honor Christ. So let us continue our celebration today. But we mustn't walk out of this place just carrying the equivalent of gift shop merchandise, reducing the resurrection to a souvenir. The resurrection is a call to live as Christ did. So go ahead and take your family photos by the flower cross today. Let that photo be your keepsake from this Easter Sunday. But when you look at it, let it also be your challenge. Let it challenge you to extend this hour of Easter worship into a lifetime of following Jesus. Church, let's not simply admire Jesus' life, ministry, death, and resurrection, though it is certainly admirable. Let us also show the world that Jesus is indeed alive by continuing this work in partnership with God's abiding Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen.